story complete. Welcome to the O Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, CW. Thank you so much for listening. Hit the bell, like the show, leave a review, leave a comment. You know the deal. Be kind and rewind so we get more views and listens. We're on the other side of Mania, folks. We're on night three of WrestleMania. It's the Raw after WrestleMania tonight. And general thoughts on night one and night two of WrestleMania is it was pretty great. I had a good time. I was actually a little distracted this weekend. Not distracted is the wrong word. I focused more on my family than I did on WrestleMania. So I missed a couple things here and there. I was running back and forth between watching Wish with my kids and wife and trying to watch SmackDown. And then on Mania night, I was focused on looking through old photos with my son and daughter versus watching night one. And then on night two, I was watching Beat Shazam with the family and then running back and forth to watch the opening matches of night two. So I missed a bits here and there, but I'm all caught up. And it was great. WrestleMania weekend. If you really look at it, WrestleMania used to be one night. And it's almost impossible to remember. And it wasn't that long ago. It's almost impossible to remember WrestleMania being one night. Now that it's two, it feels like wrestling's Comic-Con, right? And they've exploded this event into this week-long wrestling celebration, right? Like they had the WWE World in Philadelphia. They had, you know, constant content coming out. Content's the wrong word. They had constant events and things for professional wrestling fans to enjoy on their YouTube channel, on Peacock. It was just a beautiful time to be a professional wrestling fan. If you were in a lull at any time last week, you could have just turned on the WWE YouTube channel and watched something happening in Philly pertaining to WrestleMania, pertaining to your favorite wrestlers, pertaining to professional wrestling in general. They had video game content from Up Up Down Down. They had Rhea Ripley getting tattooed live in front of people. They had Chris Van Vliet interviewing folks like 5 minutes at a time. They had giveaways on, what is it, Fanatics or whatever. They had, you know, Braun Strowman and Charlotte Flair. All these people, like, it just a rotating cavalcade of professional wrestlingness. And it was great. At there were points during the week I would just, what's going on, you know, WWE World? And just tune in for a little bit. And like, oh, that's cool. It really reminded me why I love professional wrestling and why this new quote-unquote era that everyone's, you know, loves to throw that word around, why this era of wrestling to me is one of the best to come, because it's more focused on providing entertainment that the fans want, right? I think we can all agree that the Vincent Kennedy McMahon era, which is spans 40 years, really did come down to what did that man want to watch? What did that man want us to watch? You know, we're going to feed this to the people, right? Give this to them regardless of what they want. I know what they want. I know what works here. And it didn't always work, right? You can claim the Attitude Era worked. You can claim whatever. PG Era worked, whatever. But more oftentimes than not, there were Raws and SmackDowns that were just chaos because things would change and whatnot. But it feels like recently, the stories have been revolving around things that the fans want, almost to its detriment. But I don't think that I could call a lot of matches. Again, I've said this before. I'm not a booker. I don't know anything about how the writing process works in WWE. But I am a writer. Like, I do write things, and I know story structure, and I know sort of like the archetypal stories that people write, and you can see it in how they're writing stories now. It's less slapdash and chaotic and more streamlined. They are actually telling a beginning, middle, and end. They're picking up threads and paying them off later. They're doing things that are meant to swerve you, but sometimes not. They're doing things that are building drama to pay it off later. Perfect example, the way I called, and I think many people called, night one and night two with Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody, was that Rock and Roman had to go over. They had to, because the drama that that builds gets paid off with Cody's win on night two. You have to stack the deck against Cody so that his win is more sweeter, right? I think they did that. You know, The Rock came out, he did his thing. Cody lost. And then here's the moment I knew Cody was winning was right after The Rock pinned him for the 1-2-3, and they exited the ring and they had their little moment at the top of the ring. They cut back to Cody, and he was sitting in the ring exactly the way he was sitting last year. And I said, well, he's winning tomorrow. Like, they're not swerving anybody. It's happening. Because you don't, that's a story thread. That's something they picked up from last year, and they said, we're going to pay that off here by having fans see him do the same thing, see him lose at WrestleMania. He lost at WrestleMania. Think about that. Cody lost at WrestleMania, and then he won at WrestleMania. How many people get a second chance at WrestleMania to win? Not many. But they paid it off, and then they made a point of showing that he was sitting there like that in 23 and in 24. So now we're on the other side on night two. We get to pay that off with Cody coming out on top. Just a brief kind of, not recap, but thoughts on night two, Roman versus Cody. Bloodline rules seem to be very lax. Nothing really happened, which I was kind of bummed about. I thought it was going to be a very showy thing. I like the fact that Roman came out alone, like he didn't need anybody. And the Bloodline kind of trickled in as the match started to conclude, and then all chaos ensued, which you should go watch. I'm not going to spoil it here if you haven't watched it yet. But, I mean, just the most happened, right? They threw the entire kitchen sink at that match. But Jimmy and Jay coming out and then Solo coming out. Oh, first, let's give flowers to Jimmy and Jay. Jay taking out Jimmy by diving off the ramp into some tables. Doesn't get enough shine, or at least didn't get enough shine. They replayed it once or twice, but let's give it up for Jay Uso sacrificing himself to save Cody. That was incredible. My man tossed his brother off the and went with him. It was great. And the fact that he showed up at the end to hoist Cody up is just like, dude, I get in kayfabe, we know you're fine, but sell that, man. You fell off that ramp. It was high. It was great. But Bloodline rules didn't really amount to anything but the Bloodline showing up and, you know, shenanigans ensuing. It wasn't like a hardcore match. He didn't call a whole lot of people. But what I said would happen kind of happened. I won't claim that I got 100% right on that, but what I said happened kind of happened in a way. But Cody took the belt and ushered in some new era that they want to call potentially the Renaissance era. I don't know. But as I was telling Dad's First Time, shout out Dad's First Time, I'm excited for what comes next. Because to me, babyface championship runs are less interesting than heel runs. Because again, the heel is able to cheat and all this stuff and win and get heat by, you know, how are you going to beat him? He's such a cheater and he always gets away with it. Where babyfaces just kind of win clean, which doesn't promote a lot of drama. So we'll see what they're going to do with Cody. I'm sure it'll be fun, or it might be crap. Who knows? That's the exciting part of professional wrestling. You don't know what's coming. But the fact that they've kind of shuffled the deck based on WrestleMania, and now we're in this new season of WWE professional wrestling, I'm excited. Are you excited? Let me know in the comments. I hope you enjoyed WrestleMania. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you guys in the next episode. And don't you ever forget.
I'm your friend, but if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you. Don't you know? Yeah.